this gospel interlude of salvation joys for your blessing and consolation as we attempt to exalt and honor the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, God's Son, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. The program will include renditions by our chorus choir, male quartet, Arthur Thome tenor, and Esther Russell and Bud Nodler, organist and pianist. This broadcast is originating in the auditorium of the Burns Avenue Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan. Now, here is Gordon Ernst.
One of the greatest, most thrilling truths in all the Bible is this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, accept this blessed fact, dear one, you who are still without Christ, and trust him for your soul's salvation just now.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, a wonder-working power in the blood. Your passion and pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, 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 wonder working power in the blood.
Outstanding world events are occurring with the greatest of rapidity. The true children of God, however, are looking for the crowning of all the world history, that momentous occurrence of all the ages, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This fact is clearly described in God's word. Listen, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Spirit, he rose.
My friend, is Calvary a reality to you? Have you in faith accepted God's perfect plan of salvation for your undying soul? The Holy Scriptures have this to say about Christ's atoning work of grace for you, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Our organist and pianist are playing for your inspiration, that stirring hymn, At Calvary. Frivolously, men play with their soul's destiny. Christ is asking that all-important question to you. For what is a man profited? He shall gain the whole world and lose his soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Isn't it astounding to think that people are continually bypassing Christ's great eternal offer, the salvation of their soul, which is free? In the New Testament, we read these blessed words. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is worthy of honor and glory. And so may we join that angelic host singing praises to his matchless name, and also say in the words of Mary, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." And then listen to the words of the seraphim, which they cried to one another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Arthur Thomas singing for your benediction that beautiful hymn, "Holy, holy is what the angels sing."
There is singing up in heaven such as we have never known, where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption story, they will fold their wings. For angels never felt the joys that our salvation brings. Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing a redemption story, they will cease to sing. For angels never felt the joy
Are you discouraged and despairing? Look up to Christ for renewed strength and say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Esther Russell is playing for you that beautiful hymn, "Jesus, Name I Love."
Thank you.
Now the boys of our male quartet are singing for you that Negro spiritual.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Your radio preacher, God's ambassador, Dr. A.J. Hine, who is briefly speaking on the theme, Changes from Within.
Greetings, friends. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." This text contains a series of statements that every student of the Bible would do well to note carefully. For example, consider the statement that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Who is this natural man? What does this sentence really mean? By the natural man, we understand man as he is born in original sin. It is man as he comes into this world with his animal appetites and tendencies. Man as he has inherited the nature of the human race that has preceded him. It is man as he has descended from Adam. In other words, any person, young or old, man or woman, who is untouched or unrenewed or unilluminated by the Spirit of God cannot receive the things that are spiritual. It means that the natural intellect of man, the natural faculties of man, the natural abilities of man cannot discern the things that are spiritual. Why? The Bible says, because they are foolishness to him. They seem impractical to him. They seem unwise to him. They do not make sense for him. He simply cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. No matter how noble his culture may be, or high his education may be, or excellent his training may be, or beautiful his environment may be, all this cannot affect that change from within, whereby the things of the Spirit of God are received and heard. I read recently about the hair-raising experience that Dick Clements, a professional animal trainer, had in a 30-foot cage while introducing 4 young lions to 6 old lions. It seems that jealousy for the newcomers touched off the trouble. At first, the animals were all quiet in their steel cage. The lions were resting on their pedestals and the tigers on their shells. Presently, one of the old lions took a poke at the tiger above him. The tiger poked back. In a flash, the beasts were on the ground clawing each other. The young lions got excited and jumped for the chute. But in the pandemonium that ensued, they couldn't get out. In the middle of this affray stood Dick Clemens with only a piece of a broken stick and an old chair. The young lions were on one side of him, and the old ones and the tigers were on the other. In all the 20 years of his experience, he never heard such roaring or saw such fighting. Fortunately for him, they were not after him. They were intent on each other. The trainer wanted to save the young lions, who were getting the worst of it, and the tigers, which were the most valuable. They moved so fast that his eyes could hardly follow them. With his chair and stick, he got in as many licks as he could. In 2 or 3 minutes, it was all over. He got the tigers back on their shelves and the lions back on their pedestals. One of the young lions was dead. The other was so badly mauled that it was dying and had to be shot. Those beasts were far removed from their original jungles. Their environment had been radically changed to curb their natures. Their training had taught them many tricks and antics. Some of them even knew how to caper about grotesquely as a clown. But the animal nature within was the same that it had been for centuries. The bloodthirsty instincts were still there. My friend, the parallel lies on the very surface. The natural man with his animal appetites and racial tendencies remains the same from one generation to the other, except and unless he is changed by the Spirit of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." There is a strange delusion among people today that education and training can produce spiritual light. But history shows us that the world's greatest catastrophes and moral collapses have been brought on by men of high intellect, but of low moral character. Training may modify conduct, but it cannot change character. Training may produce reformation, but only the Spirit of God can effect regeneration. If you strike a tuning fork that is pitched to middle C, it will cause vibrations in another adjoining fork that is pitched to the same key. The vibrations of the one fork will produce the vibrations in the other because the two are in tune with one another. If you would be in tune with God, if you would discern the things of the Spirit of God, if you would know the mind of Christ, if you would receive the Word of God, you must be regenerated by the Spirit of God. Your mind must be in tune with the mind of Christ. Your heart must be cleansed by His Spirit. Your sins must be forgiven through His grace. Your life must be inhabited by His presence. The temple in Jerusalem consists of three particular divisions. First was the outer court. Second was the holy place. Third was the Holy of Holies. The temple itself was built out of the natural elements of this world. Not until the day of its dedication, not until it was set apart for the worship of God, was the glory of the Lord revealed in it. But after its dedication, the glory of God was especially revealed in the Holy of Holies. Dr. F.D. Myers reminds us that the outer court of the temple corresponds to the body of man, the holy place to his soul, the Holy of Holies to his spirit. By means of the five senses, man is attuned to the material and physical values of life. These are five gates through which he can approach the natural elements of his existence. They may well be called the outer court of his personality. The next aspect of his personality is the soul. By means of his heart, which the Bible tells us is the center of his affection, there is an approach to his soul. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The soul, the center of his affection, may well be called the holy place of his personality, corresponding to the holy place of the temple. Beware, O man, lest you lose your soul forever. The great mistake that the rich man made was in losing his soul in the material things of life. He said to his soul, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The most sacred part of the temple was the Holy of Holies. This was the place where the Spirit of God was most gloriously revealed. This corresponds to man's spirit, which is immortal and imperishable, 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 which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Notice then, friends, the great possibility that confronts every life. Your life may be a temple of God. Your spirit may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Your very body, soul, and spirit may be the abode of the may be the abode of the may be the abode of the Lord. How? You wonder how you can find God as your Father, Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your comforter. There is only one way. Let me spell it in capital letters. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Jesus is God's way to your life. Jesus is also your way, is also your way. Let us pray. Grant, Heavenly Father, that in this very moment, some soul may find the way to God through Jesus Christ. Grant that in this very moment, someone may find the glory of the Lord in the forgiveness of sin. Grant that in this very hour, many souls may.
With the strains of the choir music in the background, Echoes of Heaven is bringing to a close its program of Christian Faith and Victory as presented by Dr. A.J. Harms, the chorus choir and radio personnel of the Burns Avenue Baptist Church, Detroit, Michigan. We sincerely hope that this broadcast has found a warm welcome in your hearts and lives. Also, may we encourage you to write in for your love gift, that attractive, inspiring booklet entitled Prelude to Prayer. In addition, if you have any spiritual problem about which you would have our counsel or advice, or any burdens which you desire to have us help you carry to the throne of grace in prayer, be free to make them known to us. So write in addressing that letter to Echoes of Heaven, Post Office Box 5, Detroit 31, Michigan. And now, when you write for Prelude to Prayer, don't forget to also ask for a printed copy of Dr. Harms' message entitled Changes from Within. The address again is Echoes of Heaven, Post Office Box 5, Detroit 31, Michigan. Now, until next week, at the same time, Echoes of Heaven wishes you a pleasant week of God's richest blessings.